Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Threatens to kill her at one point.
Yep.
And then she goes and buys him a CD.
Yeah.
Welcome to Sincast, presented by CinemaSins.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Sincast. This is Chris Atkinson from CinemaSins, joined by Jonathan Watkins from CinemaSins.
Hello, hello.
And today we're going to be doing a mini pod.
Spooky pod.
Turning pod.
Turning pod.
There you go. Of the Turning, which I could not have been shocked more when I saw, based on Turning of the Screw.
Oh, the Henry James novel, Turning
Henry
Screw.
James.
Which I read, like, I don't know, it's probably been 20 years. I had like a weird, I had a Henry James kick. Some adaptation of his was out at one point,
mm-hmm.
and it might have been Jude. Did he write Jude? No, it was Thomas
I don't know.
Hardy.
Wings of the
that
Dove.
That was Thomas Hardy.
Wings of the Dove is one of them. What else is there?
Far from the Maddening Crowd, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. But anyways.
Portrait of a Lady.
Portrait of a Lady, yeah. I was on a bit of a kick, and that was one of the books I read. And then I've seen the Deborah Kerr movie, which is probably the most popular adaptation from 1961, The Innocents.
Deborah Kerr.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The K-E-R-R, yeah.
Yeah.
The Innocents, which is a pretty, I guess, a well-known adaptation. But I haven't seen that or read the book in so long. I honestly don't even know how much of this is Turn of the Screw.
Yeah, they start off with the death of Kurt Cobain.
Yeah, so this movie takes place in 1994 for no reason.
Yeah. Really no reason.
Cell phones, maybe.
I think the only reason why they're doing this is so that it seems modern, but it also seems like it's in the past. I don't know.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting, though. I mean, you know, instead of actually having like a subtitle telling us the year, you know, they just did the death of Kurt Cobain.
Mm-hmm.
It's the memorial service or whatever is on the news, which was, I think, 2 days after or something. That's what they said.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like April of 94, March of 94, whenever that was,
mm-hmm.
that he passed away. So,
yeah. What is this movie about? Mackenzie Davis plays a governess. I've never really like explored what governesses do or anything like that.
Maybe that's another reason. Maybe that's not really a thing anymore. I mean, I don't know, but maybe that's another reason it was more in the past.
But from what I gather, they are basically like surrogate mother / teacher type people that get hired.
Yeah, a little more than a nanny. Like they do. They actually homeschool the kid or whatever, and you know, take care of them a little more than just like a babysitter would, I guess.
Yeah, and she thinks that it's gonna be this one girl, Flora, played by Brooklyn Prince, who
mm-hmm.
a lot of people know from Florida Project.
Yep.
And she thinks it's gonna be just her, but then Finn Wolfhard comes in. He plays Miles, her brother, Flora's brother.
Yeah.
And he comes back. He's from a boarding school of some sort, and they get off on the wrong foot immediately.
He's like
as soon as she's wandering around at night, and she bumps into him, and he's like, you should probably go back to bed or some crap like that. And then there's to round it out, there is a maid or somebody who's working there, who's been in the family for years.
Yeah.
Who's very strict and angry and basically doesn't give Mackenzie Davis any like real advice or any like, you know, any support or anything.
Yeah, and I guess she's their guardian now because their parents have passed away,
I
right?
guess. I kept wondering why they needed Mackenzie Davis, really, but I guess if you're if you're the maid or whatever, you that's your job and you need to worry about that and not worry about, you know, getting them educated and everything.
Really, really weird too. This actress Barbara Martin doesn't even have an IMDb picture, which is kind of odd these days.
That is weird.
But yeah, she plays Mrs. Gross.
Yeah.
Yeah. The whole setup is really weird. For sure.
Yeah. She Mackenzie Davis, who plays Kate Mandel, gets she's got a roommate. She tells her roommate, you know, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to hang out with you. I'm going to be helping this family for a while, and then she goes and sees her mom, who I guess is in some sort of mental health institution of some sort.
Jolie Richardson,
I hadn't seen in forever.
Nope.
But perfect casting, I think. Like Jolie Richardson looks a lot like Mackenzie Davis, I think. Like,
yeah, they do kind of resemble. And to be fair, Jolie Richardson might give the best performance in the movie in the few minutes she's in.
Yeah, you're probably right. But she visits her real quick, and she's in some. It looks like a really strange facility too. Like it's.
Was she in the pool when she visited her?
I guess, water in it,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah. I know that happened. That's what it looked like to me, and she was, like, painting.
Okay, yeah. I wasn't quite sure what that was, like, if it was just some room they decided to build all weird, or if it's a pool. Like, it could very well have been a pool. But yeah, she goes and visits her for a little bit and then goes over to the house, and then, yeah, there's weird shit that starts happening.
There's involving ghosts.
I really want to kind of get into spoilers as soon as I possibly can, but do we want to say?
I don't think you can really talk about this in detail at all without getting into spoilers. Overall, I really, really hated this movie.
Yeah.
This is quite possibly one of the worst movies I've seen in many years.
Mm-hmm.
I hope this is the worst movie I see this year. I can't imagine watching something worse than this year. It might happen.
Mm-hmm.
This movie, it's bad. And it's like, and this will definitely get into more in spoilers, but this movie is almost borderline like incompetent. Like it's kind of embarrassing like that this was the final product. And I want to know more about this. Like something had to have happened.
Yeah.
Because this barely functions as a movie. That's the best way I know to put it.
That's probably right.
And that's why I hate it so much, because I mean it's like something like Underwater was shit. You know, we talked about that a couple weeks ago. But like Underwater told a story that you could follow. This is just like this is nonsense.
Yeah. Great. Give me a grade.
Oh, great. So, this is an F. I mean, I don't know how to give it anything else. There's nothing. The one thing in this movie that I actually kind of enjoyed, I'll go ahead and say this, and this is going to sound shitty at first, but the credits.
Oh, yeah.
There was this really cool music came on in the credits, and there was this really weird, like, imagery going on. I mean, it's like a hand on a wall, basically, is the essential thing that's going on in the credits, which doesn't give anything away.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just this really weird, like, couple of minutes.
Yeah.
Where I was kind of engrossed that it had this like Italian, like this like 60s, 70s Italian horror movie feel to it, almost like a Dario Argento film or something.
Mm-hmm.
The music almost sounded Goblin-esque, like who did a lot of his scores. So that was like the one thing I liked in this entire movie.
Yeah.
So it's an F.
Okay. Yeah. Again, I'm going to stick to the rules that if it's an F, then it's got to be in the room type territory where, you know, the acting is horrible. The writing is horrible. It's close.
Yeah, totally
it's
fair.
Close.
Totally
I think
fair.
I think the acting is enough to pull this up to a D.
Okay.
And that's where I'm going with this because I agree. This movie's not good at all.
No, that's fair. I mean, maybe I should be more in the D minus, but I don't know. F is just
no, you're totally
head.
Fine yeah. giving it an F. I'm not saying you should change it.
I don't disagree on the acting though. Like Mackenzie Davis is serviceable. I mean, and she's a good actress.
I feel like Finn Wolfhard's really good in this.
Yeah, we might disagree on that.
Yeah?
But, you know, it's weird. I have a hard time judging children, although I did think Brooklyn, is it Brooklyn, is that her
Brooklyn
name?
Brooklyn Prince.
I thought she was perfectly fine in her performance. And I guess, but I feel like Finn's been in enough stuff to where I can judge him a little more, I guess. But, I mean, he's fine. He's fine. I don't think it's his fault.
Yeah,
in all
truthfulness, it's hard to pinpoint whether or not they are doing a good job or not compared to what... considering what we get to by the end of this, but
yeah,
let's just go ahead and get into spoilers.
Okay.
No spoilers!
The most basic is Kaiser Sose.
Luke's what? Father is actually Darth Vader. What? She's the sister and the daughter. They just
No. I'm reading the books.
So I guess we are supposed to be led to believe by the end of this movie that Mackenzie Davis is also in that institution with her mom.
I have no idea. I read on somebody actually said on Twitter that they felt this movie didn't even have a third act. I kind of agree with that. I really don't think this movie has an ending. Like, at least not. And I mean, I don't even like, I don't know. It's almost like maybe they just didn't know how to end it and they just went with that. But I mean, I guess that's what we're supposed to take from it.
I have a lot to say about this movie.
Yeah.
Weirdly enough, even though it's so bad that you can just write it off and everything.
No, I agree.
And I want to try to speak coherently about it, even though I don't know what the fuck just happened.
Yeah.
But, the very beginning of this movie, I don't know what the fuck happened. There's a person running to the gate.
Yeah.
And then some dude, I guess we think is that, I think we're supposed to believe that's that Quint character.
Yeah.
Shows up and kills that person, I guess. But like, there's not any, like, we don't know why they're running. We don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess by the end of it, okay, Quint's a bad guy. That's why they were running.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So on and so forth. But like, there's the way it's shot. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
Like, by the end of it, I can say, yeah, okay, that's what happened. But I just don't know. It's hard to tell. That story it's not telling a good story with the way it's shot and the way it's edited and the way there's nothing. A horror movie, I kept thinking of Shutter Island during this.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have any. There's no, like, there's no story it tells to lay the groundwork for what it is about to get you into. Whereas with Shutter Island, we know immediately DiCaprio is looking for, you know, the killer and whatever it is.
Yeah.
I can't remember the whole thing about Shutter Island, but we know immediately what Leonardo DiCaprio wants to do in Shutter Island, and it has a basis for everything that we see as the movie goes along. I don't know how you feel about Shutter Island.
No, I actually like Shutter Island quite a bit. So I know what you're talking about.
But this movie just doesn't have any kind of it. We don't know what we're supposed to be scared of in this.
I agree.
We don't know what it is. We don't see the kids really talking to anybody, even though there's a point where Finn Wolfhard says something like, Quint, I'm not sure. He says that your tattoo is sexy or something like that. And we're like, who's that?
Yeah.
There's even movies, and I don't like movies like this in general, where the kids see something that the adults don't, and like Mama and these type of movies. I don't like any of these movies. Mama's way better than this.
Yeah, I would agree.
But I don't like that shit anyway. But we don't even know who it is. We don't see anything. There's a couple of jump scares, but it doesn't make really any sense until like way later. I guess we're supposed to believe Quint is just some sexual pervert of some sort, and he raped women, and
at least he raped the former governess, because that's who was running at the beginning.
Yeah.
We find out, and so we know he did that, but prior to that, I no clue.
Mm-hmm.
And their parents are dead, and that seemed like, I mean, what little they talked about it, that seemed like that was a natural thing, or it was an accident or something.
Yeah.
So this Quint guy, I mean, I don't know. Structurally, this movie is shit. I also think it doesn't help if you know that it's based on The Turn of the Screw. I think that fucks with you too, because then you immediately know, okay, well, that's a ghost story.
Mm-hmm.
So you're expecting that to be the case, which there are ghosts in this. Don't get me wrong, but that's why, like, I wish I had remembered that better. Like, what I, because I mean, I still don't really know what they took from that, other than she's a governess, there's a couple kids, and then there's ghosts. I mean, that's basically Turn of the Screw, mm-hmm. but. I don't remember if all the sexual stuff is really relevant, and in the and that's another thing. This movie, there's a very weird sexual nature to this film that really doesn't come about until about when there's about 20 minutes left.
Yeah,
and it just comes out of nowhere, and so it's really off-putting. Not that rape's ever not off-putting, but. I mean, it doesn't even make sense within the story based on what we've seen up to that point. I don't understand why all of a sudden I'm getting all this thrown at me.
Yeah. There hasn't been any lead up to this.
No, I mean, there's been some weird stuff with, like, the Finn Wolfhard character has been a little inappropriate mm-hmm. with Kate. Miles, right? And that Finn yeah. Wolfhard's name. Miles has been very inappropriate with Kate. And that's another thing. The structure of this movie, what little there is, it's basically like once Miles gets there, which is probably 10 minutes into the movie, all it is for the next hour, it's a series of Miles does something that pisses Kate off. And then Kate gets really upset, either almost leaves or thinks about leaving. Then for whatever reason, she decides that she can't. She tries to make up with him.
And she never puts out that, I don't think she does, put out she doesn't talk to her roommate or something in the movie and say, I need to see this through. These yeah, kids are troubled anything like
that. She makes some random comment that she made a promise to the Brooklyn Prince. But yeah. That's it.
But that's it. There's no reason behind that drive other than she made this stupid promise.
And then if you're right, and the ending is supposed to say that she was never even there. Or is that what you said? I'm sorry.
Yeah,
it seems like she's
in the institution with her mom is sort of what they're saying.
Or maybe she is that character and she's projecting that her mom's there.
Right. Could be.
Because it really, like I said, it really doesn't have an ending. And I'm not talking like Infinity War. I mean, like this movie really doesn't have an ending.
It runs straight into a brick wall and goes to the credits.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores led by Walmart and Target are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
And I mean, I guess there probably are, and I'm sure, I mean, I hope there's a couple people that listen to this that really got something out of this and can talk to us about this, because, you know, I don't want to sound like an idiot, but, like, I don't know what I'm supposed to think after I watch this movie. Nothing about this movie makes sense
to me. Even if they were to make this movie where it's just about mood and atmosphere, they didn't do a good job.
No.
Even if it's just about that, like, maybe we aren't supposed to know what everything is in this story. There's not anything in there that makes me feel unsettled, really.
No, and this Floria, the director is Floria, I'm going to go with Sigismondi.
Yeah,
sure I butchered the shit out of that. She directed The Runaways. This is her first film since 2010.
Wow.
Runaways is a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
Kristen Stewart and Dakota Fanning. And then she's done like a ton of really cool music videos. Like she's done some Katy Perry and Taylor. I mean,
yeah, I think her career goes all the way back to the '90s. In fact, with,
Cause I looked up, she had done some real, she's done like, she did Bjork and, Jimmy Page and Robert Plant, Most High, Sarah McLachlan. I mean, mm-hmm. she's David Bowie videos.
Yeah.
And then she's even worked like on Handmaid's Tale and, American Gods. I mean, she's got really cool like visual sense, and I guess this movie like looks okay at times, but I don't know. I feel like I really want to know what happened in the making of this movie because yeah. There's got to be a story there.
Would be fascinating. Yeah, and there's even when the movie like you think it's really going to start kicking in and everything, it's all just a practical joke. Like when she sees who she thinks is Flora drowning in the pool.
Yeah.
And she goes running and jumps in the pool and then finds out that Flora and Miles have just played a joke on her.
Yeah. Or you're going to find out they're just like, they're like evil kids or something. Something.
And once this movie gets to its end, you can't even figure out why Miles is such a dickhead in this whole thing. Like, there's no real reason for that either.
No, and there's even that one point where he apologizes to her, and then you find out that's not real.
Yeah,
or something happens there. Because she like goes back a little. Like
there are multiple times where she wakes up after something happens.
Yes, I can't remember what happened there because I remember like the maid fell off the stairs. And
yeah,
then Miles apologizes to her and he's like, "Mrs. Gross is dead," right? You know, I don't know. And then I saw this movie like less than 24 hours ago and I can't remember what happened in that moment. But
yeah.
Cause that's right before it ends. So, and like literally like this, yeah, like you said, it just kind of goes into a brick wall shortly after that. And then it's just credits.
Yeah. Because
the best part of
everything that we see up until that point. Okay. So she looks at some drawings that her mom made, some like charcoal type of drawings.
Yeah. They get like mailed to her or something.
And she's looking at the drawings and then a whole bunch of stuff happens. And then by the end of it, it like after all of that, the maid dies and Finn Wolfhard's a dick to her again and all that, it goes back and she's been looking at these drawings the whole time. So all that shit didn't happen either.
That's what it was. I think that might even be what I'm thinking about.
Yeah. And then like she goes back and looks at them and then we see her coming up to walk to her mom and that's how the movie ends.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and it just kind of, and it doesn't even like give you like a clear picture of what's in that scene.
Mm-hmm.
Like you just kind of see like do you see the back of somebody or you see like a chair? I don't even remember. It's like not a really good picture. Like you can't really tell even what's going on within that moment.
Yeah.
And I'll just be honest. I don't get it.
Yeah.
Like whatever I'm supposed to get, I don't. And I've seen, like I said, other people have said they felt like there was not even a third act. So
that's probably right.
Yeah. I mean, they're in. Yeah, because it kind of just. Or there's not a second act, depending on how you look at it, but it just kind of all of a sudden it just kicks into gear because it does that usual fuckery of, you know, like random things will happen, but they're nothing major.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like you said, one of the events is the kids are fucking with her. It's not even a ghost.
Yeah.
And then she'll just every now and then she'll see a ghost. Then Finn Wolfhard will piss her off. Or be inappropriate with her, or scream at her. He threatens to kill her at one point.
Yep,
and then she goes and buys him a CD.
Yeah,
that happens.
Flora has some.
Sorry.
It's exactly right though. And then Flora has this aversion to being taken off of the property and
and there has to be something to that and then they just choose not to answer.
There's nothing there.
Like I'm like, oh, she's a ghost, or you know, like she does
something. I kept looking for the like the she's dead or the kids are dead.
Yeah.
or you know,
and like, and I can't remember if that's a thing in Turn of the Screw. I probably should have just looked up the Turn of the Screw information before we did this, but like I can't remember if that's a thing in there. That's what I kept trying to think and that was distracting me. Like I said, I kind of wish I didn't even know that it had anything to do with Turn of the Screw, but because I think that was kind of ended up being I mean, I guess you couldn't really blame the movie for that, but maybe you can. I don't know. It was a distraction for me for whatever reason.
Yeah. I mean, and really all the jump scares in this are all about, all I guess, women that Quint killed. Or
I guess.
I mean, Mackenzie Davis sees a lot of images of just women in, like, mirrors and windows and
yeah
things of that nature. And then I guess that's that governess the whole time. I don't know.
Yeah, and then sometimes she'll see Quint's face or something, and then...
There's a point where... There's a picture of, I guess it's that, whatever that governess's name was. Was it
the
Jessel?
The one that died?
Yeah, Jessel was her name?
Yeah.
There's a picture of her. It's a Polaroid that says, "You look good even when you're asleep." And that isn't even shown in the light of something that should be awfully scary. They didn't build up to that. It's just something that's just casually... in Mackenzie Davis's possession.
Yeah, well, then she also randomly finds, like, there's some other pictures she finds that they never go back to. It's like of, like, lingerie or something, like people in lingerie.
Yeah, to be scary, it would have been awesome if the Polaroid was of her, not of the governess.
Yeah.
And then she thinks it's Finn Wolfhard because he's been the dick the whole time. But then it turns out, I mean, there's a variety of ways to make this movie make sense or make at least give you the mood that I know what I'm supposed to be scared of. And I just didn't get it the entire time.
I agree. So what did you like? So you said you did like Finn Wolfhard.
I did. I even though his character is weird to me because he alternates from being total dick with no redeemable qualities to almost looking like he feels sorry in certain issues.
Yeah.
There's a moment where Mackenzie Davis comes in and says, "Well, I'm just going to leave." And Finn Wolfhard's like, "Well, yeah, just leave," like all of them do. And she walks off, and then the camera stays on Wolfhard during this whole time, and he's got this look on his face like, "Oh, man, I shouldn't have said that."
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And then he just proceeds to continue to be a dick the rest
of
the... The whole drumming scene, that pissed me off in the trailer, and I was just hoping that there would be something. But I thought he played that character well. I just don't know...
He did what was on the page.
His deal is.
Yeah, exactly. I think, and maybe it's just hard to buy him in that kind of role just because we're so used to seeing him like Stranger Things or even It. Now, I think the characters in Stranger Things and It are different, but they're still, he's very likable and very, you know, kind of geeky and, you know, in a fun way. And I don't have a problem with him. I don't know. Just him trying to do like, I kept kind of thinking of Tobey Maguire in Spider-Man 3 when he's supposed to be like goth. Like, it's what I kept thinking about whenever there was a moment where he had to play it like really like he was being a dick or he was tortured soul. and that might have had something to do with the mid-90s setting too, because it definitely had like a grunge aesthetic to it at times, especially with his character. So and obviously this director has a musical background, at least she does videos and stuff, so I mean maybe there was something there.
Yeah,
musically that made her want to set it in 94, but I don't know.
Would have been nice if that had come back in some way. I mean, even if they had just somehow made the ghost Kurt Cobain, that would have made more sense than all the other stuff that they did in this.
Yeah, and I hope this doesn't like, I mean, you know, she made Runaways. I mean, which was like I said, it was a good movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, she can make a good movie. So, and I read somewhere where she's thinking about doing another horror movie. So maybe the next time out, it'll be better.
Yeah.
But this was miserable. Like,
yeah.
And it just feels, even though like it's maybe, I don't even know how long it is. Maybe 90 minutes.
Yeah, it's like an hour and a half.
And it, like I said, it hour and 34 minutes, and then it doesn't even really have an ending, but it still felt interminable. Like, because like I said, it was just over and over. It was just on repeat with the whole Miles Kate dilemma. Like, you know, he's going to do something weird. She's going to get upset. And then like, you know, or like the Mrs. Gross is going to piss her off and, you know, get on to her for getting on to these kids who are like being horribly inappropriate with her.
Yeah.
The whole thing is just weird.
It is.
And
it's
it doesn't pay off. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you can have weird like that and you can have like creepy shit going on, but there's got to be some kind of payoff.
You can approach this movie at any angle. If you want to just call it, it's just trying to set a mood, it doesn't do that. Straight horror movie doesn't do that either. Yeah. If it's trying to get inside the mind of someone who's got troubles or whatever, it doesn't do that well at all either.
No, it doesn't. And I feel like the way we're talking about this might entice some people to actually watch it because they're just like, wow, that's fascinating. Don't. Like, I'm telling you, just don't.
Yeah, it is a curiosity, but it's not something that I would recommend that you go and watch.
No, go watch The Room again or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, don't watch this.
Yeah.
But I know what you're saying. Yeah, like, I almost feel like there should be an F minus because I do know what you're saying. Like, this isn't The Room or Birdemic, but it is the closest you get with like a studio film,
mm-hmm.
with like a good budget, a cast of, you know, known actors.
I think you're right. It's this completely is like, confusing and makes no sense. And
yeah, it's the this is a weird comparison, but like, you know, I was trying to think of like something like a studio film I might give an F over the last year or so. Like MIB International might be like close to that, where, you know, you have all the makings there of what surely at one point was something, but then this is what we got. So I don't know. It's terrible.
Yeah.
I don't know how many ways to say it's terrible.
Yeah. I mean, towards, you know, about the 45, 50 minute mark, I was like, well, maybe there, even then I was like, well, maybe there's something I'm just not seeing. Like, you know, there are movies that you watch in your lifetime that like 5 years later you're like, oh, is there any way that this could be considered genius?
Yeah,
5 or 6 years down the line. And I can't possibly see it this way.
Think if like Sixth Sense ends when he's sitting with him in the hospital,
mm-hmm.
like after they have that conversation, he says, I see dead people, and then it just ends.
Yeah.
Or something. So whatever, pick your scene. But like, if it was, you know, that's kind of what this is. Like, it's a slow burn build up to something that never happens.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's exactly the way we should end this review.
There you go.
Okay. Did you guys see The Turning? Go to Sincast presented by CinemaSins and tell me what you thought. We also have CinemaSins Twitter. We have Music Video Sins Twitter. We're on SoundCloud. We also have a Discord. If you want to get on Discord, you can get to our Reddit page and find the link on the right side of the page. Or you can go to Facebook and private message me, and I will give you the link there. Where can people reach you, Jonathan?
You can reach me on Twitter at SamLoomis13, and you can listen to me every week if you choose to on the Behind the Sins podcast with Danae Hughes and Aaron Dicer.
All right, well, that'll do it for this mini pod. It was miserable. A misery pod.
A misery pod. We should have started with
that's
that.
What it is. Misery pod. It's Chris Atkinson, Jonathan Watkins. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Comment on our episodes on our SoundCloud page. Check us out on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Reddit. And be sure to visit CinemaSins.com.